The sandy-haired son of Hollywood lost his faith in all that's good. Closed the curtain, unplugged the clock, hung his clothes on the shower rod. But he never got undressed, and no, he never made a mess. It's funny how life turns out. The odds of fate and the face of doubt. Camera one closes in. The soundtrack starts. The scene begins.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here for the next hour on this Friday the 13th. That's right, a lot of scary stuff going on. Friday the 13th of May, 2005. We've been covering CAFTA on Monday's broadcast, and want to do a little more of that tonight, as well as hopefully we'll be getting into some private property information that I have. A lot of land use planning going on, folks, all across the country. Few people are aware that they're plotting the course for sustainable communities, which includes sustainable transportation, affordable housing, which is nothing less than sustainable housing, government-subsidized housing, which means that you're going to have to be controlled by whatever place that you're living in. And all of this is the wave of the future. And this is going on right under our nose, and it's an implementation of the United Nations agenda called Agenda 21. And before we go any further, though, I want to clear something up that I said on last Monday's broadcast, and I didn't mean to imply that we had more time than we did on this whole CAFTA, this Central American Free Trade Agreement situation. I made the statement that we might have some time because of the 90 days after the president signs the thing, it's going to go to Congress. Folks, what I meant to say is that they actually have 90 days. They have 90 days to vote on it, up or down. And so it's important to understand that it could happen within the first week. It could happen within the first month. It could happen, within the full 90 days. We don't know how much time we're going to have. The point is, we have to be active on this, and we can't go to sleep. Now, I have been reading, and there's some good news, I have been reading that it's in trouble, that Congress is leery about it. But we can't go to sleep on it. We can't take that with a grain of salt and know that if it's true, that's certainly good news. But I strongly urge you, as others are doing, to call your congressman and to tell them to vote against this thing when it comes before them. And we're certainly going to take other measures as well. But Congress, the number to call, if you want to call the Capitol, it's 1-202-224-3121. Again, the number is 1-202-224-3121. And we strongly urge you to make your phone calls. If you don't know who your congressman is, your senator and your representatives, then just call and ask, and I'm sure they can direct you to that. Now, that information should be on the back of your voter identification card if you actually vote. But if not, just call and ask, and I'm sure they can direct you to whoever your representatives are. But it's very important to do this, and then let's not leave it at that, though. Let's get active on the state level as well, because as Roger Mundy pointed out when he was a guest on this broadcast, the best way to control the federal government is through the state government. State governments have been ignoring their sovereignty for years, and they have a lot of power, but they don't use their power. And I think it's important to educate the state legislators on this issue, as well as many other issues, and then have them go to Washington, D.C. and represent us before Congress in Washington, D.C. Folks, I don't think that there's any other better way to get the message across than if legislators from the state level would go and represent their constituency there on the federal level. because it's going to hold a lot of sway if state legislators are going to Congress and saying, look, our constituency is saying that they don't want this program. They do not want this treaty. They do not want this trade agreement. NAFTA has devastated them, and they're saying no. And they've urged me to come here and tell give you the message. And if you get a few state legislators doing that, I think that's going to have a lot of weight. And it's the best option that I can see. Now, if anybody else has any other solutions, hey, you're free to email me. My email address is right there on the website. Any website, AmericanExpose.com. DarrenWeeks.net, SweetLiberty.org. You can get to me from any one of those websites. Email me your solutions if you have any alternative viable solutions. I'll be happy to consider anything at this point in time. I'm all about solutions. But at this point, I can only see that this is the best way of getting the job done. So certainly call your Congress critters and tell them how you feel about this. Write letters, fax them, do all of that. But make sure you also get active on a state level and urge those state representatives to get interested in these federal treaties, because they have the power. If they would just pick up and run with it, they have the power to represent us before Congress and get the message across for their constituency, which is you and I. So, continuing on here with, there's some information from signonsandiego.com, which Union Star Tribune, Union Tribune staff writer Dean Calbreth writes, imagine a place with a population nearly the size of England. And this piece, by the way, is entitled, Critics Say Treaty Offers Too Little in Return for U.S. They say, imagine a place with a population nearly the size of England, but with only half the economic clout of San Diego County. And in this place, almost half the people make less than $2 per day. Now imagine some of the highest paid lobbyists in Washington, D.C., representing labor unions, textile mills, beef ranchers, and sugar growers, filing into the Capitol to fight over whether the United States should establish a free trade agreement with that deeply impoverished land. And as I documented on last Monday's broadcast, folks, the deeply impoverished lands, we're talking about these six countries of Central America: Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and, of course, the Dominican Republic. Now, on the website at AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, we have the list under latest news and information of those countries. And you'll note that according to the CIA World Factbook, Guatemala has a poverty rate of 3 out of 4 people. Over 75% of the population in Guatemala lives below the poverty line. And, of course, the idea being is that they're not going to be consuming any U.S. goods when the people don't have anything where they can buy U.S. goods. Once they're living in poverty, how are they going to buy any U.S. goods? How is this going to help the U.S. out at all? The point here is this is foreign aid. This is an attempt to spend you broke. That's what this is all about, folks. The World Bank is involved in this. And the whole idea is to implement Agenda 21, Chapter 3, Combating Poverty. And in Agenda 21, Chapter 3, they say their objectives of this program area is A, to provide all persons urgently with the opportunity to earn a sustainable livelihood. Now, who's going to have jobs out of the Central American Free Trade Agreement? The Central American countries. It's designed to give them jobs. B, to implement policies and strategies that promote adequate levels of funding and focus on integrated human development policies, including income generation, increased local control of resources, local institution strengthening and capacity building, and greater involvement of non-governmental organizations and local levels of government as delivery mechanisms. C, to develop for all poverty-stricken areas for all poverty-stricken areas, integrated strategies and programs of sound and sustainable management of the environment, resource mobilization, poverty eradication and alleviation, employment and income generation. Now, I think it's very important to note that on April 28th of this year, just a few weeks ago, George W. Bush, our illustrious president, held a press conference. And in that press conference, I played a clip on last Monday's broadcast of what he said. And he said that this is going to open up jobs. He said this is going to open up markets. It's going to open up markets for American job creators. That's what he said. George W. Bush, on April 28th, at his press conference, said that the Central American Free Trade Agreement would open up markets for American job creators. Now, one thing you have to understand about that carefully worded statement is that what he didn't say is just as important as what he, really more important, as what he did say. What he didn't say is that CAFTA would produce American jobs. He didn't say that. What he said was that it would open up markets for American job creators. Now, where are the jobs going to be, ladies and gentlemen? Are the are USA citizens, are Americans, North Americans going to benefit from this agreement? Of course not. This is designed to implement Combating Poverty, Chapter 3 of Agenda 21, lift the Central American countries out of poverty and create employment for them. There is nothing in it for you and I. And, I mean, all you have to do is look at the CIA World Factbook, which we have the links to the countries on the website, and take a look at their economic condition. The only one that's doing well... is Costa Rica. They're doing fairly well. They're the best, the best off of those countries. Other than that, the vast majority of them are impoverished. And as such, how is it going to benefit us? It's not going to benefit us to do business with them. Now, I don't have any problem with I don't want these people living in poverty any more than anyone else does. But the point here is that it's not our job, folks, to rescue the world from poverty. I mean, you can only spend so much money building infrastructure, transferring technology, and feeding people until you are broke. And that's what it's all about. We've done that around the world, and we're so much better off because of it, right? But under the socialist UN system, wealth has to be redistributed so we have social equality. And that's what they're talking about when they talk about social equality. It's socialism, folks. All right, getting back to this piece in the San Diego Tribune. They say, once you have that picture firmly in mind, you have an idea of the debate that's shaping up over the Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA, which would eliminate most tariffs between the United States and Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and the Dominican Republic. Together, the six Central American countries have a population of 46 million, but a gross domestic product totaling 85 billion, half the size of San Diego County's $170 billion economy. Nevertheless, the Central American nations have become one of the most hotly contested battlegrounds in President Bush's long-standing campaign to forge trade deals with foreign countries. By the end of this month, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay plans to bring CAFTA to a vote, relying on so-called fast-track procedures. And the point here that I want to make is, why do they have to fast-track this? Why are they rushing so much? I'll tell you why they're doing it. They're doing it because they're trying to get this done and over with before you folks wake up about it and find out what they're doing. They're trying to rush this through before you have a chance to protest. That's why they're doing it fast-track. But it says, by the end of this month, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay plans to bring CAFTA to a vote relying on so-called fast-track procedures that enable trade bills to move quickly through Capitol Hill. Already the debate has begun in the Senate Finance Committee and in the House Ways and Means and International Relations Committees. Opposition is mounting, and thank God for that. Let's hope it's not controlled opposition. 2 weeks ago, 150 legislators, Republican and Democrat, announced their opposition, and last week, Representative Walter Jones, a Republican from North Carolina, joined with Representative Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, to form a caucus aimed at defeating the pact. Jones said, quote, CAFTA would take away American jobs and further deepen our trade deficit with Central America, unquote. For businesses, the stakes are high. Manufacturers see a low-wage workforce close to U.S. shores that could handle factory jobs for as little as 90 cents an hour, potential competition to Chinese workers who average 64 cents an hour. Farmers and ranchers hope to sell more of their products in the region once tariffs are reduced. Peter Algier, the acting U.S. trade representative, vows that the agreement will, quote, create new opportunities for U.S. workers and manufacturers. Yeah, right. And will, quote, deepen and strengthen democracy throughout Central America. Well, once you know that democracy is socialism, you got to agree with them on that one point. Critics complain CAFTA will lead to a further erosion in the U.S. labor force, already hemorrhaging from an exodus of factory work. Quote, it's really a misnomer to call CAFTA a trade agreement. Now, this is the point I've been making all along, folks, so listen to this. He said it's really a misnomer to call CAFTA a trade agreement. The markets in Central America are so tiny, they're not capable of the kind of two-way export-import activity that the word trade applies to. Unquote. That was a quote of Alan Tonelson, a research fellow at the U.S. Business and Industry Council, a manufacturing association that opposes CAFTA. Abelson said, quote, essentially, CAFTA is the latest in a series of outsourcing agreements. It's designed to make it easier for U.S. companies to go into Central America and produce things that are not for the Central American market, but us, unquote. Other critics charge, and where's the national debate on this, folks? Why aren't you hearing this about, the news is completely asleep on this, as far as I can tell. Why aren't we hearing anything about this being reported in the mainstream media? You know, maybe I'm just listening to the wrong news sources or something. I'm not hearing anything. Anyway, they continue here. Other critics charge that if CAFTA works like most other trade pacts, it will worsen the United States' record $617 billion trade deficit. The United States is already running trade deficits with the five CAFTA nations, and that could worsen if U.S. factories relocate in the region. Quote, our goal these days should be to expand our markets in a way that will build a trade surplus, but instead we keep signing deals that increase our deficit, unquote, said Ernest Baynard, Executive Director of Americans for Fair Trade, a group representing a broad range of farmers, manufacturers, and labor groups. Now, since President Bush took office 4 years ago, he has signed free trade agreements with Singapore, Australia, Chile, Morocco, and Bahrain. Each of those agreements sailed through Congress because they were in faraway countries with little direct impact on the U.S. labor force. CAFTA, which was completed in December 2003 but has not been submitted to Congress for ratification, has been more problematic. Some of the primary proponents of CAFTA are U.S. clothing manufacturers, many of which have been shifting factory work into low-wage plants in Central America. Under the Caribbean Trade Initiative, signed in 2000, textile mills in the United States can ship raw materials to factories in Central America without paying tariffs. Those factories then use the materials to make clothing, which they ship to the United States duty-free. Because the trade initiative is slated to expire in 2008, clothes makers have been the loudest voices pushing Congress to enact CAFTA, which would extend the duty-free relationship indefinitely. Jerry Cook, who oversees international trade at Sara Lee Branded Apparel, told a congressional panel last month, quote, without CAFTA, there would be increasing turmoil and instability in the textile and apparel sector, unquote. Now, Sara Lee has a number of clothing plants in Central America. Juan Carlos Pereira, who works for Pro Nicaragua, a government agency promoting investment in Nicaragua, said CAFTA will encourage other industries to move factories into the region. In anticipation of CAFTA being signed, he said, factories making automotive components and medical equipment have moved into the region. Pereira said, quote, will CAFTA improve lives for everybody throughout the region? Unfortunately not. But it's a critical piece of the puzzle, he said, unquote. But Mark Levinson, chief economist of Unite Here, a union of U.S. apparel, textile, and other workers, questioned how much benefit the average Central American will see from CAFTA. Levinson likens CAFTA to the 1994 North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. He said, quote, NAFTA was also sold as an agreement that would raise wages and alleviate poverty in Mexico, but real wages in Mexico today are actually lower than they were when NAFTA began. The poverty rate is higher than before NAFTA began, particularly in rural areas. More than 1 million small farmers in Mexico have lost their lands to floods of agricultural imports, unquote. Other economists say the 1994 devaluation of Mexico's peso and not NAFTA was responsible for the decline of that nation's standard of living. Beyond outsourcing, some U.S. companies hope to boost exports to Central America if CAFTA passes. San Diego's Price Smart, which has 12 warehouse-style retail stores in the CAFTA region, said the deal could smooth operations by harmonizing the trade regulations in the region, so the company would not have to contend with half a dozen widely divergent regulatory systems. Equally important, said Ernesto Grijalva, who oversees PriceSmart's legal affairs in Central America and the Caribbean, CAFTA will immediately reduce the price tags on nearly all U.S. imports, which should boost sales, creating more jobs in the United States. And see, the problem is, what kind of jobs are they going to be? Retail jobs? Grijalva concedes that any jobs created would be hardly noticeable, and that the effect on the U.S. workforce would be minimal. But he adds that CAFTA should improve living standards in Central America by making imported products more affordable. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association, for instance, notes that CAFTA will immediately eliminate tariffs on quality prime and choice cuts of beef, which should help boost U.S. beef exports from their current level of $12.5 million per year to $41 million. But even if the tariffs drop, most people in Central America will not be able to afford high-priced beef imports from the United States, said Karen Batra, a spokeswoman for the association. Quote, she says, but a lot of Americans like to travel to Central America and enjoy steaks on vacation, so that's where our growth potential is at the early years of the government, or I'm sorry, of the agreement. It's targeted at tourism. That's until Americans can no longer afford to take vacations, which is quickly becoming a reality, unfortunately, because we have the gas price situation. I mean, they're squeezing us to death, folks, and I don't have to tell you that. Critics of CAFTA are fearful that an influx of beef and other food products from the United States will swamp the largely agrarian Central American economies. Quote, our farmers are hardworking and will continue to find ways to compete with their northern neighbors, unquote. Guatemala's Bishop Alvaro Ramazzini, president of the Secretariat of Central American and Panama Bishops, told the House International Relations Committee last month. He continued by saying, they cannot compete, but they cannot compete against the U.S. Treasury and the $170 billion subsidies granted in your farm bill, unquote. Ramazzini added that if the farmers are squeezed off their lands by cheap imports, many of them will try to migrate to the United States to seek a better living. There you have it. More migration. Just as we have the migration under NAFTA, we're going to have the Central American migration. He continued, quote, trade discussions began by asking how policies will be good for business and economic growth, but we need also to ask how trade policies will be good for those who live in poverty, unquote. Because of all the arguments and counterarguments over CAFTA, trade watchers are split over whether the agreement will make it through Congress. Richard Feinberg, an international political economy specialist at the University of California, San Diego, who served as a trade advisor in the Clinton administration, said, quote, "So far, I haven't seen any effort to reach out to Democrats, so I imagine that the White House will try to whip the Republicans into line. If it passes, it seems like it's going to be a party line vote," unquote. And it just goes to show you, folks, we can talk about socialist Democrats, but the socialist Republicans are working in tandem to destroy the country. There's no difference between parties. And for those of you who are new to the broadcast, you'll learn that as time goes on. Those of you who are seasoned listeners, you're very well aware of that, I'm sure. Senator Max Baucus of Montana, the leading Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee, said, quote, I am unaware of any event that the president has participated in to urge passage of the agreement. I don't believe that he has lobbied Congress on the agreement. He has certainly never raised the issue with me," unquote. Baucus said he feared the White House would push the debate to the last minute. Quote, "The administration pushes for trade agreements faster every time. That may be fine when the agreements enjoy broad support and no one objects, but when they are controversial, we need to leave time for a full debate." So, and that was the end of that, unquote. So there's the CAFTA conundrum. Critics say treaty offers too little in return for U.S. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break here. On the other side of the break, I'm going to play a little clip from William Norman Grigg, whose article I read on last Monday's broadcast dealing with this whole CAFTA situation. He also authored the piece on the Sink the Law of the Seas Treaty, which is another thing that's going on right now. A lot of things happening. A lot of people working for the destruction of the country, but we also have a lot of people working for the preservation of it as well. And we cannot give up hope, folks. As long as we have a chance, we have to stay active. And I do believe we have a chance. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be wasting my time. With God is in control, all things are possible with Him. We have to put our faith in Him. We have to keep the faith and know that liberty is worth fighting for. Ultimately, it's worth dying for. And that's the way we have to look at things. We'll be back with more American Exposé. Stay with us. On the other side of the break, we'll play this clip from William Norman Grigg. It's very important background information on the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Stay with us here, folks, as we continue on the broadcast.
You're listening to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for His people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Okay, no problem.
Who was that on the phone, dear?
That was the pastor of the church around the corner. He was just wondering if it was okay to stop by for a quick visit. I told him sure.
You told him what? A pastor coming over here?
Yeah, we're not doing anything.
Sometimes we get nervous when we're around someone we consider more righteous than ourselves.
Quick, you hide the magazines, I'll lock the movie drawer.
Do what?
And watch your language.
Watch my language?
Kids, stay in there and do not come out until we say.
Okay.
Dear, it's just a pastor. He's just dropping by for a quick visit.
Maybe we need to get rid of all of our champagne.
Dear, we only have sparkling cider.
Oh, well, that explains a lot.
If you feel the need to clean up your act around a righteous person, think what it'll be like to stand before a righteous God. Jesus died so we can have a one-on-one relationship with God and stand before Him unashamed. Have you trusted Jesus with your life? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
CAFTA would expand the existing North American Free Trade Agreement. It would also be the keystone of a planned economic and political merger of all Western Hemisphere nations through the so-called Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. The Bush administration insists that the agreement would build on the successes of NAFTA, but more than a decade after the agreement went into effect, our trade deficit with Mexico has soared. Hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs have been sent to Mexico, and illegal immigration has surged, along with the expense of our educational and healthcare systems. NAFTA has been an economic disaster for our country. CAFTA promises to give us more of the same. Supporters of CAFTA insist that the agreement would open new markets for U.S. exports. Yet together, the CAFTA nations represent a tiny consumer market roughly the size as that of New Haven, Connecticut. Which is to say that they have no money to buy our exports, but a large population of low-wage workers that will draw our manufacturing jobs south. Many of the same CAFTA supporters also argue that the agreement is necessary to encourage economic development in the region, but this assumes that those nations would be exporting goods to the U.S. rather than buying our goods. In fact, CAFTA is designed to shut U.S. agricultural producers out of Central American markets for as much as 20 years, while immediately eliminating barriers on importing food from the region. If CAFTA is intended to be a free trade agreement, why does it handicap U.S. farmers and give an artificial advantage to Central American farmers? And why do so many of its supporters describe it as a foreign aid program for Central American governments? Dragging the U.S. economy down will do nothing to help Central America prosper. CAFTA is intended to be a regional affiliate of the World Trade Organization, or WTO. Headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland, the WTO is the economic equivalent of the United Nations. It is already handing down decisions regarding our nation's trade, economic, and tax policies. Our Global Neighborhood, the 1995 report of the UN-created Commission on Global Governance, described the WTO as, quote, a crucial building block for global economic governance. The WTO and advanced regional groups, such as the European Union, will increasingly be faced with the issue that will dominate the international agenda in years to come, how to create rules for deep integration that go way beyond what has traditionally been thought of as trade, close quote. When Congress approved the WTO, Newt Gingrich, a supporter of the deal, described it as a, quote, very big transfer of power, close quote, from Congress to a global bureaucracy. CAFTA, a regional group like the EU and the proposed Free Trade Area of the Americas, would be a component of a global economy managed by the WTO. It would place our nation's economic future in the hands of unaccountable foreign bureaucrats who have no interest in our continued prosperity. Recent decisions by the WTO have essentially turned the global textile market over to communist China. This has had a dramatic impact on many of the poorest CAFTA nations, which depend heavily on textile manufacturing. To promote passage of CAFTA, U.S. Trade Representative Christopher Padilla devised a cunning, if dishonest, strategy. He and his allies seek to convince Congress and the public that only by approving CAFTA can the U.S. withstand China's economic assault. They insist that saying no to CAFTA is the same as saying yes to economic domination by China. 10 years ago, Congress sold out our economy by approving creation of the World Trade Organization. Now, thanks to WTO rulings, communist China is absorbing the world textile market. The same gang that gave us the WTO is now telling Americans in textile-producing states that a vote against CAFTA is a vote for China. Truly, this is beyond shameless. CAFTA is not about free trade. It certainly isn't about promoting prosperity. It would undermine our struggling middle class and advance a campaign to destroy our national independence. CAFTA can and must be defeated, but action must be taken now. Contact your congressional representative and let him know in no uncertain terms that he must vote against CAFTA. Contact your friends and neighbors and have them do the same. Then visit stoptheftaa.org to find out more about the real agenda behind so-called free trade agreements like NAFTA, CAFTA, and the FTAA.
Remember NAFTA? That disaster cost America almost 1 million jobs. Congress is quietly trying to make it worse by passing CAFTA, which would relocate still more American manufacturing to Central America. Help us fight this sheer stupidity. Go to www.stopcafta.com. That's stopcafta.com. Let's keep American jobs where they belong. In America.
Welcome back to the broadcast, American Exposé. Darren Weeks here with you. I just thought you should hear that message. And I do hope you'll get active on this issue, ladies and gentlemen. So much is at stake. Economics, our individual liberty. Very important to do so. Now, I want to continue here with some information from the World Bank. The World Bank says U.S. Central American Trade Pact should spur growth. Study says DR CAFTA, and DR stands for Dominican Republic. It's the same thing, folks. DR CAFTA would enhance trade and investment in region. Now, I'm going to drop the DR from it so that we can get through this more quickly. You know that the Dominican Republic is a part of this. But it says, talks about the World Bank. Now, this is what the World Bank thinks of this whole agreement. And you'll know all through this thing, I want you to note that they're talking about the benefits of Central America, how Central America is going to benefit from this. No word, no mention about how North America might benefit from it. And I think that's very important to understand. It says the free trade agreement between the United States, Central America, and the Dominican Republic offers an opportunity to enhance economic growth, trade, and investment in Central America and the Dominican Republic, according to the World Bank. On May 11th, the World Bank released a preliminary summary of its forthcoming report, Challenges and Opportunities of CAFTA for Central America. The report summary said that the ratification and implementation of CAFTA would play a central role in shaping the future of Central America, and it outlined the potential benefits of the trade agreement. Quote, the treaty holds the potential of increasing trade and investment in the region, which in turn is key to lifting economic growth and improving the welfare of the people of Central America and the Dominican Republic, including those living in poverty. That was a quote from the World Bank. The World Bank said that although predicting the precise effects of any trade agreement is difficult, CAFTA should enhance Central American growth due to the agreement's positive effect on trade and investment levels. It explained that CAFTA should foster greater trade through the removal of virtually all tariff and quota barriers. Furthermore, the trade agreement should increase investment levels by improving the certainty of Central America's market access to the United States, solidifying the broad economic reforms of recent years, and spurring further reforms. They said, quote, investors should respond positively to the modernization of key regulations in such areas as trade in services, government procurement, and intellectual property rights, including provisions for greater transparency in government regulations, which will be made more credible under CAFTA commitments, unquote. Although CAFTA presents an opportunity to increase growth, trade, and investment, and the vast majority of the Central American population would benefit, even in the short run, ultimately the gains ushered in by CAFTA would depend on the ability of the region's governments to manage the changes that the agreement will bring, the World Bank pointed out. They said, quote, the magnitude of the benefits from CAFTA will depend critically on the ability of the Central American economies to pursue a complementary policy agenda, and the agreement by itself is unlikely to lead to substantial developmental gains without parallel efforts in areas like trade facilitation. ports, roads, customs, institutional and regulatory reforms, and innovation and education, unquote. The World Bank study concluded that even though CAFTA caps a decade and a half of reforms and offers an important opportunity to make additional progress in trade growth, trade-led growth, it's not a silver bullet or a magic formula. CAFTA alone, and this is a quote from the World Bank, CAFTA alone cannot be expected to unleash radically higher levels of trade and growth. Countries will need to accompany CAFTA implementation with policies to address key constraints and bottlenecks in order to reap the full social and economic results of this initiative. Unquote. So there you have it. I mean, the whole focus is on how we can benefit these Central American countries and the Dominican Republic. And that's the problem with the United Nations. It's designed to basically save the world, to be a savior for the world. And who is the United Nations, folks? They admit on the State Department website that the United Nations is simply an extension of U.S. foreign policy. We have, running our country, a bunch of traitors who are globalists, who want to sink this country as far into the ground as possible. Now, I want to move on here because there's a lot of other things happening under the guise of sustainable development and land use planning that we have to cover. There's so much going on that you're not being told about. All across this country, in cities, counties, there's various board meetings going on with regional planning committees that are planning out, mapping out the future of how these cities are going to be constructed. And you'll have to pardon me if you hear a little thunder in the background, because we have a thunderstorm going on right now as I'm talking to you. So if you hear something in the background, that's probably what it is. Now, I want to cover a little bit of this real briefly as we go through this. I've got so much information here about land use. Just to give you a little idea, some of the headlines here, more than just land use planning. This is from Incline Village, Nevada. Scott County Board of Supervisors. Supervisors approve land use. Eldridge, Iowa. Blueprint drawn for land use overhaul. That's from Portland, Oregon. Zoning committee agrees to work on land use plan. That's from Bentonville, Arizona. Stanford Palo Alto Reach land use deal. That's from the Stanford Daily. Land use board meets in MR, and I don't know what MR is. I guess that's a river. Maurice River, that's what it is. And that's from Bridgeton, New Jersey. State approves county's land use changes for Scripps. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Land use changes forecast. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Land use study endorsed for Oceana area. That's from Norfolk, Virginia. I could turn the page here. Landmarks Law, West Campus Top Land Use Agendas. That's from Berkeley, California. It goes on and on, folks. Then we got Sustainable Communities. Headlines for Sustainable Communities. Something from Canada here. Ontario government announces H.E.N. McDonald's visiting economist. They mentioned Sustainable Communities in here. American Lung Association awards pollution fighters. One of the award recipients is helping to promote sustainable communities, lifestyle areas. This one's from the UK, who tends to be a little more advanced in this stuff than we are, although we're catching up. Lifestyle areas designed to invigorate. That's an important piece. I want to share that with you here shortly. House prices down slightly, but is the market at the turning point? That also is from the UK. So there's a lot of these. Okay, here's one in the U.S., and that's from WorldNet Daily. Someone is planning your future. And we're going to cover that here in a moment as well. But this stuff is going on under the nose of most Americans, and I wanted to read all those headlines to give you a sampling of just how many there are and how many places there are that this is going on, and you're not being told about it. We hear a lot about city revitalization, and that's one of the buzzwords for these globalists as they do their bidding, they do their planning. They're revamping the cities in order to structure things in such a way, and they're putting in what they call affordable housing, which are high-rise buildings which are going to house a large number of people. What they're doing, folks, is they're getting the cities ready for the influx of people as more and more private property is put off limits to general people, to Americans. And Americans are shifted out of rural areas. This influx of human beings that are going to be crammed into these cities, they're getting the cities ready. They're structuring things where businesses can be close by so that all of you will be able to have everything within your reach. All the businesses that you need will be within a short distance so that you can walk, skateboard, rollerblade, or do whatever you need to do, but you won't need an automobile to get around. And just to give you a little sampling of some of these articles, and I printed some of them out here, this is from Nevada, North Lake Tahoe, Nevada, from a publication called The Bonanza, and this is an opinion piece. It says, there have been lively discussions around town lately regarding Incline Village's community plan. At last week's monthly Washoe County Citizens Advisory Board meeting, Assistant County Manager Michelle Posch told the board in public in attendance that the need to update the community plan was scheduled for a few years down the road, but was moved ahead because of Pathway 2007, a management plan update by the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. Now, there you have regional governance, ladies and gentlemen. We have a whole section on regional governance in the SweetLiberty.org website. You can go to region.sweetliberty.org and learn how regional governance is implementing the plan for world domination from the UN. Regional governance, we have regional planning agencies, which form a layer of government over state boundaries and usurp state sovereignty. And it's also being done on a national level as well. But this Lake Tahoe, or I'm sorry, this Tahoe Regional Planning Agency is partnering with the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board to pursue this program called Pathway 2007. Now, if you're interested in finding out what this Pathway 2007 is about, they do have a website for it. You can go to pathway2007.org. Pathway2007.org. This is just one program that's being implemented in Nevada. And again, we're giving you a sampling of some of these things in other places so that when it comes to your town, you can recognize what's going on. Public comment on the subject was varied, but most supported some type of planning process, according to this publication. They say, we all need to realize the plan the county is discussing, as well as TRPA's portion of Pathway 2007, involves land use issues. But as IVGID Chairman Gene Brockman so vividly pointed out, this community needs more than to plan for land use issues. Did you hear that, folks? He says it's more than just land use issues. Although an important segment is to manage our all but built out land issues, Incline Village and Crystal Bay residents also need to look at other peripheral matters like equity housing. Equity housing. Senior and youth activities. Recreation facilities. Latino community needs and more. This project has been named a community plan. And what are we talking about here, folks? We're talking about communitarianism, which is nothing less than community communism. Communism in your community. This project has been named a community plan, they say. Although that brings confusion to some when items such as social issues come into play. We need to understand that we're not just talking about land issues. They say, we feel that all residents need to participate in the undertaking of what might be considered a master plan to develop both the land use and social issues that face us today. That from Nevada. Now, moving along here. Here's another one. This is from Bentonville, Arizona. Zoning committee agrees to work on land use plan. It says, after meeting for almost 2.5 years, or I'm sorry, for almost 2.5 hours, that would be a long meeting, wouldn't it? If they met for 2.5 years. After meeting for almost 2.5 hours Tuesday, Benton County Zoning Committee members unanimously agreed to work on a land use plan in conjunction with a zoning ordinance proposal before the documents are sent on to the Committee of 13. For the past 15 months, zoning committee members have worked on a zoning ordinance draft to designate zones for unincorporated areas of the county. Jeff Hawkins, Northwest Regional Planning Director and zoning committee members, suggested from the beginning stages of preparing a zoning ordinance proposal that the committee needed a land use plan. Hawkins said it was state law that the county needed a land use plan to zone all or part of a designated area. Now listen to this, folks. They say a land use plan considers impact. A land use plan considers impact to and preservation of watersheds, wildlife, and historical sites. Now, apparently, Arizona has a state law on the book stating that they have to have a land use plan. And it says the land use plan, a land use plan, considers impact to and preservation of watersheds, wildlife, and historical sites. What's a watershed? Any place it rains. Any place where water runs. So basically, the whole earth is a watershed. The watershed is the earth. Kurt Moore, Justice of the Peace for District 13, and Zoning Committee Chairman agreed that the committee was getting the cart before the horse on preparing the zoning ordinance without a land use plan. Benton County is proposing to designate zones for unincorporated areas of the county. The goal of the zoning ordinance proposal is to protect Benton County landowners by establishing zoning districts with regulations and definite permitted land uses. Well, I got others here as well, but in the interest of time, I don't have time to share them. But what I do want to share is an article by Henry Lamb. Since I've given you a few of these examples of this going on, Henry Lamb writes in WorldNet Daily on May 7, 2005, he says, "Someone is planning your future." And this is what I want to close out the broadcast with. He says, "What would Marion County, Indiana, and Lincoln County, New Mexico possibly have in common? In Marion County, nearly a million people are packed into 403 square miles with a density of 2,172 people per square mile. Lincoln County stretches for over 4,831 square miles and on a good day can muster only 19,411 people. That's 4 people per square mile. Nevertheless, both counties, as is the county where you live, are targets for transformation into sustainable communities, as defined in the United Nations Agenda 21. Neither Indianapolis Mayor Bart Peterson nor Lincoln County Planning Technician Kurt Temple will admit that their efforts to transform their communities have anything to do with Agenda 21. They probably don't even know that it does. Agenda 21 is a policy document adopted at the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development by more than 170 countries in 1992. It was implemented in the United States by President Clinton's Commission on Sustainable Development, created by executive order with no congressional debate or involvement. The agencies of government set out to implement the recommendations of Agenda 21 by rule and by economic incentives and disincentives. This means simply that grants are available to states and communities that do what the feds want, and penalties and fund withdrawals await those communities that resist. Throughout the 1990s, communities everywhere began to create visioning councils, quote-unquote, with special grants from the feds. These visioning councils set out to transform local communities and protect them from environmental and social disaster by adopting smart growth policies directly out of Agenda 21. One of the high priority recommendations of Agenda 21 and the President's Commission on Sustainable Development is to create a new decision process. This means take the policy-making process out of the hands of elected officials and put it into the hands of professionals. This is exactly what Mayor Bart Peterson is trying to do. Indianapolis Marion County, Indiana, already has a consolidated government of sorts, 4 communities and the sheriff, and a few other elected positions remain outside the mayor's control. The mayor wants to further consolidate his government by eliminating these elected decision makers and appointing their replacements. The sales pitch is always the same: more efficient government, reduce the cost of duplicated services, and on and on. Lost in the argument is the idea that government is most responsive to the people, governed when the decision makers are accountable to the people who are governed. Government officials who are appointed, whether appointed by Bart Peterson or Fidel Castro, are responsive to the people who sign their paycheck and not to the people they govern. Another high priority recommendation of Agenda 21 is to get people to live within growth boundaries instead of wherever they want to live. Despite the fact that Lincoln County's population has declined steadily since 1980, Kurt Temple believes 600,000 people will invade his county by 2025, and therefore the county must plan now to prevent urban sprawl, quote-unquote. He and his planning commission are deciding where these people may and may not live. Kurt Temple says, quote, "There is broad consensus in our county that land use and development should be controlled," unquote. Now, Henry Lambs continues, he says, if that consensus exists, it exists only among planners and bureaucrats. In the West and elsewhere, there is broad and growing consensus among Americans that government should get out of the way and leave people alone. In America, the land of the free, people should be able to live wherever they choose and can afford to live. For government to tell a person, no, you can't build a home here because a planner drew an urban boundary line on a map is ridiculous. Especially in a place like Lincoln County, New Mexico. The planning craze afflicts virtually every community. The so-called problem these plans are supposed to prevent often become problems that future generations have to correct. The first wave of planning in the late 1960s and 1970s produced high-density housing for low-income families. These high-rise, low-cost apartments became the slums and gang headquarters in Chicago and other cities, which ultimately had to be destroyed. Planners have no sacred wisdom. They only have authority. Every time government attempts to engineer society by shaping and molding market forces, the result is failure. Nothing shapes the future as efficiently as a free market. Elected officials in Lincoln, Marion, and all other countries would do well to listen to the people who elected them, not to the professional planners and agency personnel whose first obligation is to justify their own existence. Many Americans are content to plan their own future and don't appreciate being told what they can and cannot do by government bureaucrats. Very well said, Henry Lamb. And folks, we got to go. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us on this broadcast this week. And join us again next Monday as we'll be back. And God bless you. Pray for this republic and do what you can to restore it. Good night.
When you turn and find that you're all alone, and the velvet wall the night moves in wraps around you like a wall of stone. Just when your final prayer has flown, love will get there. When a mother's touch is far away, you close your eyes and you hear a voice whispering, it'll be okay. Just hold on for one more day. Love will get there. Dog afraid you'll never reconcile. You can change it all with just one smile. Love will get there.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity.